What you're doing all the time is aiming for particular features. So if a pigeon has not got that particular feature developed, and you select the one that had and discard the one that hadn't.
He became completely passionate about the pigeons. Those pretty much took over his life.
You know, Darwin was a bit like Newton in the sense that Newton saw gravity in an apple and Darwin saw evolution in pigeons. Yeah, this is a measure of his genius that he said, let's start talking about pigeons.
Charles Darwin is famous for explaining why there is so much diversity in the natural world. His theory of evolution by natural selection, that animals and plants change over generations to become better suited to their environment, is well known. But does anyone realise that one of his inspirations was the pigeon? Some of his pigeons are now at the Natural History Museum at Tring, which is where I met bird curator Joe Cooper.
What we've got here are three of Darwin's fancy pigeon specimens. We've got one skeleton, and then we've got two what we call study skins, and it just looks like a bird lying on its back with its wings closed. So we've got the roller, which was one of Darwin's own birds from his own loft, and that's a quite a handsome little black and white bird. And we've got a jogia from India, which is a kind of caramel colour. And then the skeleton, it's not mounted like you'd expect a display specimen, it's kind of loose bits and bobs. And it's got some Darwin's handwriting on it and a beautiful original label with it.
So did Darwin have just these three pigeons?
No, this is part of a much larger collection. Overall, we've got about 120 of Darwin's pigeons, about 60 skins and about the same number again of skeleton.
And why did Darwin keep these animals?
Well, what Darwin was trying to do with his pigeons was explore the processes behind natural selection. From his trips around the world, he could see that species could change, but he didn't really understand how. So he was looking at pigeons to experiment with the way that characters, such as number of tail feathers or colour, could be inherited by the next generation, and how breeders have manipulated that to create many, many varieties over time. So for Darwin, it was looking at artificial selection, but through doing that, he came to understand natural selection far better.
This is what he was working on at the time and immediately before the publication of The Origin of Species. So this is what was crystallising his ideas, 1855, 56, 57. So without this collection, we wouldn't have The Origin.
Darwin was intrigued how so many different forms of pigeon could be bred from just one species, the rock dove, Columba livia, which is similar to the pigeon on our streets. He read pigeon manuals, joined clubs, and wrote to breeders across the world. People like John Elsden, who keeps pigeons at his home in Peterborough.
This is a book with all the sort of amazing features of pigeons in them. We've got a priest and we've got a nun, you know. They've all got funny names.
Oh, wow, what's that?
A Romanian naked neck.
No feathers on its neck.
The object, I think, is to breed them without any feathers on the neck.
It looks like a pepperami neck.
It looks like nothing on earth to me.
Do you remember what your first fancy pigeon was?
I do. They were Oriental frills, and they've still got Oriental frills down there today. No matter what shape they are, they're still the same pigeon underneath. I mean, it's not a separate race, is it? It's a domesticated rock dove.
So it's all one species?
It's one species.
Pigeons were very popular, they were easy to get hold of, they were easy to keep.
Lots of Victorians kept them, didn't they?
Loads of societies, yeah, lots of people to talk to. People were probably a bit sneery about Darwin sort of associating with all these pigeon fanciers. In fact, Darwin was a bit snooty about them at times and called them queer little men. so he kept his distance.
That was a sort of class thing, was it?
Because it was pigeon breeders, it was the guys in the smoky back rooms of pubs and things. It wasn't serious science.
There we are, boys.
I might jump about a bit with you. Wait a minute. Now these are kings.
Those are big.
Yeah, they're quite big. Quite a handful. If you want to make a new pair up, you have to shut them together, you know, and if they're happy, you leave them together. The worst thing to do, of course, is to split an established pair up, a pair that's been together for 4 years, and you say, right, we'll find you a new lady. And that's fine if you take the old lady completely away. But if she's still in the loft, then no way you're going to do it. You're not going to do it at all.
Darwin wondered, if humans can manipulate how pigeons look by controlling which ones breed with which, perhaps the environment could control how animals in the wild look by affecting which individuals mate.
My name's Mark Pallon. I'm Professor of Microbial Genomics at the University of Birmingham, also author of The Rough Guide to Evolution.
Mark Pallon explains how Darwin's theory is fundamental to biology.
He recognised that if properties are passed on from one generation to another, if they are inherited, then they can be subject then to natural selection. One of his key insights was that there was this struggle for existence and that all these organisms are competing with each other. Even if it only makes a difference of 1 in 1,000 to your survival having a particular trait, like compound interest, if that's applied generation after generation, you will get a dramatic change in populations. Mm. In fact, there's a little anecdote that at the zoo, there's two zookeepers on their rounds at the end of the day just to check everything's okay, and they notice that the lion's cage is open and the lion's coming out. And one says to the other, well, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? And he said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to run. And he says, don't be silly, we can't outrun a lion. And he says, I don't have to outrun the lion, I just have to outrun you.
And how is it that these pigeons are now in our collection?
Well, Darwin's main pigeon keeping period was between about 1855 and 1858. And the Origin was published in 1859. He directly donated them in about 1867. He was finished, and he was very relieved to be finished, and they came to the museum in one big job lot.
One of the clearest examples of Darwinian selection is the emergence of antibiotic resistance in bacteria. If you give an antibiotic that kills 999 out of 1,000 bacteria, the one bacterium that's left that happens to be resistant to that antibiotic then grows up, forms a new population. So what we learn is, if you give two drugs, you would expect there to be one in a billion billion cells that's resistant to both drugs. And that's more than there are cells of that particular bacterium in a human being that's got tuberculosis. And that is used, it's used in cancer treatment, it's also for tuberculosis. We never give one drug alone, we give drugs in combination.
Darwin approached his work by completely immersing himself in a subject, and he became completely passionate about the pigeons. They pretty much took over his life, and he wrote very enthusiastic letters to his friends about how fascinating they were, how wonderful, and his friends were finding it quite difficult to divert him onto any other subject.
I have to be honest with you, there should not be corn in here, but I haven't been feeding them for 5 days. My daughter has.
Oh.
And I leave her instructions. That means 4 cupfuls for this place. And she's probably put 5 or 6 cupfuls in here.
She's been spoiling them.
So the corn, look, is spilt on the floor because she's been putting too much corn down for them.
Darwin wrote The Origin of Species. He's a genius and an author and a change the world sort of thing. But actually, when you see something like this, it's a deeply personal collection. It's got his little scribbled notes on it. They're not very neat. So it gives you a real insight into Darwin as a person. And I can work out the techniques that Darwin was using or why he'd marked a bone in a certain way. He's kind of like a colleague who just isn't there anymore. You know, it's really interesting.
So do people still come and study this collection?
Yeah. In fact, I had some of Darwin's chickens, another part of the domestic collection, were photographed this morning for a researcher.
Darwin kept chickens as well?
He didn't keep chickens, but he did add them to his collection. Somebody else kept them for him.
Oh, right.
But we also have, yes, Darwin's ducks, Darwin's chickens and Darwin's canaries.
It's the next in the series.
That will be, yes, following the pigeon work. Darwin's chickens, what you didn't know.
See Darwin's pigeons and other inspirational icons that have changed science. visit the Treasures Gallery at the Natural History Museum